So all of you look very happy. There's not a person here who's not feeling some joy in their hearts, because these two devotees, I always think of her as Little Radha, because you know, she used to sit on my mridanga when I played it. And go around Govardhan Hill and speak all this katha. I was thinking, boy, I wish I could, I knew all those pastimes. And little Tari, who, you know, we're all one family, actually. You know, there's the mom and the dad, but we all met many, many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, and we've all grown up under the guidance of our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada. We play different roles. It's all family. So when someone in your family member makes a great step forward, it gives joy to the family. You graduate from school, you get married, you have your first child, you move into your first house. You know, these are all moments to remember in our family. So this is one of the most important moments in the lives of these children. Although they're in their 30s, I'm 2.5 times their age, so they're still children in my eyes. It's a great day for them individually. It's certainly a celebration for the parents. You know, probably Yashoda Dulal's crying somewhere. See, he's hiding over there. Karuna is sobbing her heart out in joy, Karunika. It's an important day for all of us that we've come to witness this, to bear witness to their entering into this sampradaya, which is an eternal blessing. It's even a benefit to this country of New Zealand, to humanity. What? This little ceremony in the backyard of this house? Yes, it's not an exaggeration. We'll see at the end of their lives what they've contributed. Each and every Vaishnava has a double portfolio. He or she is simultaneously working on their own heart. Cheto darpanam arjanam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. As well as the deliverance of humanity. What is a householder doing to deliver, raising these beautiful children? Three gorgeous children who just... Sometimes you just step back and say, they said that? They say things that just, you know, amaze you for their age about Krishna consciousness. Both these devotees are raising their children. And that's a huge contribution. If any of you have raised children, you know it takes blood, sweat, and tears. It's 24/7, 365. For 80 years of your life. Karunika used to say, you know, boy, when my children grow up, I'm going to retire and go live in Vrindavan. Right. She's still here in Christ, taking care of the grandkids. And I met a man the other day. He was taking care of his great-grandchildren, my godbrother, Akura, fourth generation. So this is a valuable contribution. So all of us have our part to play in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sankirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord. So we have our own, we have double portfolio. We're working on our own Krishna consciousness, and everyone is contributing in some way to expanding the family. I often quote the following verse. I quoted it recently at New Govardhan, but I love it. In his purports to the Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu, there are only two principal instructions. Make it easy, right? French in 10 easy lessons. Spanish in 8, you know. They try to make it as simple as they can because, you know, it's... And even if they make it simple, still it's hard for us to follow, but... So in the teachings of Mahaprabhu, there are only two principal instructions. Develop a taste for chanting the holy names of the Lord and display compassion for the fallen souls. If you want to get a tattoo, that's a tattoo. Develop a taste for... Don't get tattoos, but I'm not into tattoos. If you already have one, okay, there's a concession there. But develop a taste for chanting the holy names and display compassion for the fallen souls. So although people may not know it, because of the presence of the Krishna conscious movement, the society of devotees and individual, the world's going to get a little bit better, imperceptible, but a little bit better due to the initiation, because this initiation empowers one to chant Hare Krishna. That's why one has to get initiated. It's not enough just to chant. You have to take initiation into the chanting, because there's a certain blessing that comes. The ultimate blessing is you get prema. But when you go out and chant, then your chanting will affect others. All Vaishnavas are trained to think in the following way. You know, there's that statement. What is it called? A mission statement? I don't know if they do that anymore. Do they still do that, Prahlad? Mission statements? Yeah. There's a mission statement that your company takes, a brand, or, you know, you take. How I want to see my life move forward. Purpose. You have to have a purpose in life. So here's a nice verse for devotees that they can be their mission statement. And it's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. May there be all good fortune throughout the universe. And may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. What a mission statement. People put tattoos on their backs. That's one you can put on your back. And as I said yesterday, this is, as this yatra is moving forward, and you'll have a place of focus, your temple, it's like on the verge of a new dawn. And these devotees will join the ranks, empowered through this initiation, and they'll make this Christ Church a better place. That can't be done necessarily by, you know, after the earthquake, by people who will make it a better place, road repairs, we'll reconstruct the buildings, we'll make new pipelines, all the buildings will be earthquake-proof. That's important, but what people really need is Krishna consciousness. So that's your duty. This is your Prabhu Datta Desh. That's a very important concept. Your Prabhu Datta Desh. We don't want to have wanderlust and just go all over the... My service is to go all over the world and visit the temples. Like, you know, they do the life membership program. I met one life member from Mumbai. He bought a membership in the 70s for 3,000 rupees. And his whole mission in life is to visit all ISKCON temples and take darshan and prasad. That's his... No, we don't want wanderlust just to travel here and there. We want to have a purpose. And generally that means staying in one place. Prabhu Datta Desh. Just like Janavamata. She went to Dunedin. Mark Twain said that the Scots, they went there on their way to heaven, and when they got to Dunedin, they realized that was heaven. I know, he must have been drinking too much that day, Mr. Twain. But she's taken it beyond heaven. She's made it into Vaikuntha, that little temple she got. No, one single woman, you know, and it's all going on. One devotee. Because she took it as her Prabhu Datta Desh. That means your place of service. You take it seriously. So if one devotee can make such an impression in Dunedin, then, you know, Christ Church has to catch up. Come on. You've got a whole community of devotees here, initiated devotees. So you should follow in her lotus footsteps. Yes? And then we'll see, with these new developments, these initiations, and your temple president who's so committed, he's running two projects here and in Jaipur, who can imagine so far away. Both are successful because he's a good administrator, he's a good devotee. You've had time to recuperate now and rest a little bit, because I remember what, you know, life, we were really busy here in Christchurch. For now you've had a little break, and the situation is such that people are ready to hear. So this is the dawn of a new era. Come January, this place is never going to be the same again. It's time to celebrate. As they said in America, we had a depression, a great depression in America. It was really, America was down and out. There's a big depression, and people were, you know, jumping out of buildings, committing suicide because they were so poor and they had no hope, business people. There was nothing to eat. It was a depression. So as it began to recede, the depression came over. Then somebody wrote a song which was meant for the depression, but I think they wrote it for Christ Church. It's gone. And what was that song? Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let's sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together shout it now. There's no one who can doubt it now. So let's tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again. I didn't sing the melody because then, then I would think of, you know, the depression. Happy days are here again. But like that, Rupa Goswami sometimes took love songs, isn't it, Prahlad? He would take love songs from a famous poet, and he would make them Krishna conscious, because the loving sentiment, the origin of that sentiment, is in the spiritual world. It's a perverted reflection here. Lord Chaitanya also did, when he was speaking with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. They would take this mundane poetry, and they would Krishna conscious, they would, what do they call it? Dovetailing. They would dovetail it like that. So happy days are here again, the skies above are, you know, okay. So, how is it working? How are they becoming empowered to deliver themselves and others? Well, as we've stated many times, this initiation ceremony is like a second birth. The first birth is in the womb of our mother. It's called the garbha. The womb is the garbha. Like Krishna appears as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Vishnu appearing in the womb of material nature. Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. It means he appears in the womb. So the first birth is we take birth from the womb, in the womb of our mother. And although we tend to celebrate that, actually it's nothing wonderful, because birth into the material nature guarantees one thing for sure. Nothing can be really guaranteed. We were discussing on the way over here, the intricacies of karma are very difficult to understand. You don't really know what it's going to be like 5, 10, 15 years from now. Sometimes the bad guys get released from prison, and sometimes the good guys end up in prison. You just never know what life will throw at you. But one thing you can be sure, jitashahi dhuro mrityur dhruvam janma mitasyacha. One who has taken his birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. It's a very bad bargain. It's like two sides of a coin. You flip, you know, when the rugby match, because I said rugby, because it looks like rugby is even more popular than cricket down here. I never thought I'd find a country, an English-speaking country, where something was more popular than cricket, which I don't understand. And I don't understand rugby even more, what these guys are doing, running about, getting all banged up. But they flip the coin, and then, you know, for one person it's a joy, and the other person, I wish we had, you know, like that. So that's what life is like. It's a football match. It's just flow this up. And there's a new birth, a new beginning. We have a fresh start. You know, we're healthy, born into a good family, and then all of a sudden there's some shock, some tragedy. Wealthy family, prestigious families, powerful nations, they're not averse to these things happen. Therefore, a devotee, you know, he's not a pessimist. He also likes sunny days. It was raining yesterday, so we're grateful to Lord Krishna for making this a beautiful day so we can hold this important ceremony outside here. We also see these things. We smell the roses, you know. We see Krishna everywhere. But we're not naive. We're not blind like most people. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. I do offer my most respectful obeisances unto him. We're not blind. Tyaja dujana samsargam bhaja sadhu sama gamam kuru punyam aho ratram smara nityam anityatam. This is not a verse about braj, about, you know, madhurya ras, about Giriraj Govardhan, but it's one of my favorite verses. It's coming from Chanaka Pandit, who wasn't even a Vaishnava, Prabhupada said. Give up the association of evil persons. Partake of the association of saintly persons. Perform pious deeds both day and night, and always remember the flickering nature of the material world. I remember sometimes Prabhupada would tell a joke in class, and then he would say, "Don't laugh." We'd laugh a little bit, and then Prabhupada says, "Don't, that's enough." Prabhupada was always very equipoised. Never intoxicated by the so-called pleasures in material life, and never got depressed or, you know, lost hope when things got too bad. Eke kurunandana, devotees always fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. He doesn't get disturbed by the coming and goings because his consciousness is fixed on the supreme abode. So he makes his way through life, but he's always, although he's that sobriety to him, you know, it's interesting, a devotee is simultaneously very sober and joyful at the same time. Because he knows that however dismal the situation may be, there's always a positive alternative. And how do you link up with that positive alternative? You just pick up your japa beads and start chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And you make that your priority in life. We have so many things to do, but as a devotee gets older in life, he realizes that, you know, time is of essence. You know, at around 45 or 50, you take that hourglass, and you turn it over, and you've only got half left, so you start getting serious. So you make your chanting your priority. You're very busy with your work, you're very busy with so many things, and when you have time to chant, you chant. Because you know that chanting alone can take you home. You can awaken your love. Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tatamam tatvato jantva vishite tadanantaram. Krishna makes it very clear. One can understand me as I am only through the process of devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotional service, he can enter the kingdom of God. And the essence of devotional service, what pleases Krishna most, is the devotee sings his sweet holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. So this, one who takes that up in earnest, he has a new life. It's a different life. It's a spiritual life. It may look like, to other people, an ordinary life, but all that you do, all that you eat, any work you do, whatever sacrifice a devotee done is for the pleasure of Krishna. So the act may seem it, but the consciousness is different. That's what makes it different. We're doing it to please Guru and Gauranga. So we've turned over a new leaf. People like to turn over a new leaf, but they end up having the same bad habits and doing the same damn things. Maybe they lose some weight. That's a huge accomplishment, you know, lose some weight, you know. But no, this is really turning over a new leaf. This is the perfection of turning over a new leaf. And another one of my favorite verses, which I haven't quoted in a long time, so here we go. Janame, Janame Sabhe, Pita Mata Paya, Krishna Guru Nahimile Bhajahariye. Everyone gets a mom and a dad, birth after birth. But if one gets the benedictions of Guru and Krishna, he can conquer over the material energy and return back home, back to Godhead. So what is the process for taking birth? Well, in the material world, it begins with the father planting the seed in the womb of his wife, the prospective mother. But in Krishna consciousness, it's similar, but on a transcendental way, the Guru activates the seed of love of God in the heart of the disciple by giving him, authorizing him, giving the blessings of Guru Parampara to water that seed, which is always there in the heart of, even in the bug, even in the cockroach, even in the spider. The Guru gives blessings. I bless you. And you water that seed with what? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. By sound, one hears the instruction chant, and that goes into the right ear of the disciple, and it wakes him up. Because we're all, according to Mahaprabhu, he gave a nice analogy, because analogies help us understand these esoteric concepts. He said, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Boli. Kota Nidri, Yayomaya, Pisa Chirakoli. Hey, all of you people, how long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? I'm awake. No, there's different types of sleeping. There's a nap. Prabhupada called it a snap. On our traveling party, every day, without fail, after we eat lunch, everybody takes a snap. We all kind of joke, you know. Badahari, can I have your permission? He says, yes, go upstairs and sleep. We sleep because it's such an until we go to bed. We don't go to bed before 1 o'clock on any day, given day of the year, practically. Such is our schedule. So there's the snap, there's the deep sleep when you're in the snap, and you wake up and you're like, where in God's creation am I? Then there's comatose. Person goes into a coma. There's an accident. Comatose means, Prabhupada said, the demigods are deciding if the person should go to his next body or he can stay in this body. I thought that was really amazing. What's a coma? The doctors have their scientific, medical, but a coma means that, you know, demigods are having an istagosti. So, let's see, that guy should go on to, should he take birth? In? No, let him go back, okay. But there's something deeper than a comatose. It's called avidya. Ignorance. You can be walking around, but be in total ignorance. They call that zombie. Like walking zombies. Where was I? I was in somewhere, London last year. I couldn't believe it. The most perverted reflection of a Sankirtan party, where one is, you know, Vaishnavas, beautiful, moral, sattvic Vaishnavas are chanting God's name. On the other side of the street came this people. They were dressed like zombies. It was a zombie parade. Have you ever heard of that? They walk down, they paint their faces like they're cut up and their eyes, and they're like, I didn't want to look like that. And they're like, ooh. Talk about enjoyment in the mode of ignorance. And they pass the Sankirtan going, hey Krishna. Okay, it's the only benefit you get today. But people, without this vidya, without this transcendental knowledge, under the influence of this age, people become like that. They don't even have to dress up like that. They look like that. They think like that. So this chanting's for them. Just to show the power of this mantra, Mahaprabhu sent Nitai and Haridas Thakur to deliver Jagai and Madhi, just to give us faith that we're not bad as they were, but they got delivered so you can get delivered. That's how powerful it is. Shabda Brahma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So what's it like to wake up? You know, you wake, what does it mean, wake up? So when you wake up, what do you see? Like a materialistic person wakes up and he sees his room, puts on his school clothes, you know, you put on your suit and you go to work. So what is that the same? You know, what does it mean to wake up in Krishna consciousness? You perceive more than that. What do you perceive by taking this chanting seriously and having your eyes opened by the mercy of Guru and Krishna? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadyakabu Nai Shravanari Sudha Chitte Karayai Udai. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of all living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, the living entity naturally awakens to his original Krishna consciousness. Of course, that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. This process is easy, but it's not cheap. That's the point. It's simple, but it's not cheap. Don't mistake the two. You know, everything's very cheap in Kali. You pay some money, you can get anything in this material world now. Kali Yuga. But this process is simple, but it's not cheap. It's not like, you know, there's some sects in India that the guru reveals to the disciple at the moment of initiation who or she is in Goloka Vrindavan. Next day, you're flapping in a room like a peacock or something. Or like Ramakrishna, Tatsavivekananda. Ramakrishna, you know, he's famous. He was a Shakti Bhakta. He worshipped Mother Durga. And somehow people thought he was such an advanced soul and, you know, there was this good marketing, let's put it like that. So his disciple was Vivekananda, and Vivekananda, you know, he's the one that took Krishna consciousness to America and gave people a bad impression. Not Krishna consciousness, the Vedic culture, and gave people a bad impression. We had overcome that. But runtime Ramakrishna touched Vivekananda. He went like that. And now I have given you all of my spiritual shakti, all of my realizations. Oh, man. Then he collapsed on the ground. Now I have nothing left. It's not like that. Prabhupada, you'd love to give that. No. Ado shvadhat tata sadhu sangat bhajana kriya narta nirriti syat. It's a gradual process of working on our own hearts and then distributing the holy names to others. Our portfolio, we have two portfolios. Let's always remember that. And even we don't have to worry about our own deliverance. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavicham, va, dagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmani, ishvare, bhavatat, bhakti, ahit. Isn't it? Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth. I don't want to enjoy beautiful women. I don't want any number of followers. I don't even want mukti. I don't even want to be, you know, get liberation from birth and death. I just want to serve you here, there, or everywhere. So we don't even worry about these things. We just serve without any desiring anything. We're just happy to serve. Like Burijan Prabhu wrote that book, My Glorious Master. We're just happy to serve. Just like you see the dogs sometimes. We were at Venugopal and Nikunja Seva's house. They were trying to hide this dog. I don't know why, but you know, dogs sometimes are required to protect houses that are in some isolated area. But I walked into their room to use the men's room, and from out of this curtain came this dog, the guard dog. And he came up and, he looked at me with the sweetest face I've ever seen. Like, I just love you, he said. Remember that dog? And he was an old guy, he's 14, he's about my age in human life. And he came up and he kind of went like that, you know, and I immediately fell in love with him. And there was a conversation. I spent, you know, 20 minutes petting him. He was licking me and, you know. He was a servant, but he just, you know, and he's valuable, he's there, but he just, I could see the service mentality. We don't want to become God. We just want to become the servant of God. It's so nice to be the servant of a glorious master, my glorious master. And don't worry about our identity. Bhakti Churu Maharaj told me a couple of years ago, we're having this discussion about our identity in the spiritual world. He said, we can't talk about this too long because it's speculation. But he heard Prabhupada say in 1974 in his room in Mayapur, Prabhupada said, and I quote, one disciple said, Prabhupada, when you leave this world, then how am I going to realize my spiritual identity? Who's going to tell me? You're going to be gone. So how will I know at the end of the road, at the end of the rainbow, when I come to the big pot of gold, you know, through purification and service, and, you know, someday it's going to happen because, well, that's the process. So how will I know? You're not going to be here. So Prabhupada chastised him. He said, don't worry about your swarup. When the time comes, I will personally come and reveal your swarup. For now, just follow the authorized process. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, in any case, that swarup is revealed by the mercy of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So what a treasure we have. And we have to keep saying these things over and over and over again because, well, that's the process. You hear it again and again, and one day, got it. Just like children, again, in the Gurukul, they hear the verses again, and then they catch it, and then they understand it, and then one day they realize it. So the glorious of this, essentially this is initiation and Harinam, it's initiation into the holy name. What do we get from this? If we appreciate it, more, we take better care of it. Like if you have a diamond, you give it to, you know, one of these little children, they'll look at it for a while and they'll swallow it. That's what kids do. Mommy's one of the austerities of being a mommy in the beginning, you have to follow your kid around. You want them to crawl, you want them to walk, but they pick up anything and put it in their mouth. So mommy's always got to take the thing out of the mouth before they swallow it. Could be, you know, whatever. But when they grow up, they find the diamond. Well, then you know the value of the diamond. So we're not so realized. We're children, we're infants on this path, so we have to hear the glory. So when we sit down, we chant with fixed attention. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. I find as I get older, it takes me longer to chant my rounds. Somebody said, well, you know, what mistake? No, it's not a mistake. I like to chant. I want to chant. I get to chant. And that's what I like to do. So I know that after giving all these lectures, hearing myself on the speaker, you know, Prabhupada said, this philosophy is so nice, it benefits the audience and the person who's speaking. Sometimes Prabhupada, he would, you know, after the lecture, he'd go to his room, he'd say, put on the tape, and he'd sit, and he said, that was a very nice lecture. He'd hear his own lecture. It's not our philosophy. We're just the via medium. But it's so powerful. So what does it do? It cleanses the heart of unlimited sinful reactions. It uproots the material desires. It bestows prema. What kind of prema? That we discussed in our seminar, Shikshastra, the Braj prema. That's something very special that we can have that opportunity. Not 9 karat gold, 18, but we're getting 24 karat gold and we don't even have the money to buy it. Our only qualification is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That Braj prema. As we've discussed many times, and we can just get a little appreciation how fortunate we are to be linked up to this particular sampradaya. Generally, people worship the Lord in awe and reverence. God is great. We are very small, as we do in the beginning also. But eventually, the devotee's love for the Lord becomes so pure that Krishna becomes subservient to that devotee's love. This is the mystic nature of Krishna consciousness. He's God. He's the supreme controller. But for the sake of rasa, for the sake of relationship, he becomes subservient to his devotee. Take, for example, one time Madhu Mangal, he's a Brahmin boy. You know Madhu Mangal. He's the son of Sandipani Muni. He said to Krishna, Krishna, you're a Vaishya. You take care of cows, but I'm a Brahmana. You should start showing more respect to me. You're a Vaishya, I'm a Brahmana. He's God, and he's the devotee. But that's the humor, it's the ras, it's more intimate. You're a Vaishya, and I'm a Brahmin. You should show more respect to me. So Krishna said, well, you see, Madhu Mangal, more important than one's birth is one's deeds, one's activities. So you look at my activities, and they're simply extraordinary compared to yours. So you must recognize, Madhu Mangal, that I'm a great personality. So Madhu Mangal, he laughed, he said, Krishna, just see how conceited you've become. You can say that to God, because they're friends, and that's what friends do. Krishna said, but it's true, I've done so many amazing things. When I was 7 days old, Putana came to kill me, and I killed her, the big witch, the wicked witch of the north. Then I killed Trinivarta, then I subdued Kaliya, and then I'm famous as Giridhari. When I was 7, I lifted the Govardhan hill with my little finger. These are my super excellent activities. You have to recognize me. I'm a Vaishya, but I don't have to respect you. You can't do that. So in joking fun, Madhu Mangal said, well, you know, we boys talk about those things that you did. And, you know, as far as Putin is concerned, it's said, we heard from our mothers and fathers, that it's the demigods who protect children and old people. So we know, all of us know, it was actually the demigods who killed Putana. But you want to take the credit for it. As for lifting Govardhan Hill, Nanda Maharaj, Balaram, and all the cowherd men, they were propping up Giri Govardhan with their sticks, and you want to take the whole credit? As far as Kali is concerned, you were finished. You were practically dead. Everyone saw that. Your bluish complexion had become even darker because of Kaliya's poison. You were in his coils. So seeing you, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, all the coward boys and girls, they all fainted. So I, Madhu Mangal, I took pity on them, and I chanted a mantra to subdue serpents. I'm a Brahmana. I know mantras that can subdue serpents. As a result, Kaliya became so frightened that he released you from his coils, and you jumped on his head and started dancing as if you'd done a good job. This is Braj prema. It's much more relishable than Surya Sur. So Krishna said, oh, I see. So please accept my humble obeisances. Krishna made obeisances to the Brahmana. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govinda. So this mantra can give us that type of praying, but you got to work on it. We are a work in progress, you know. As much as you neglect your driving, you're leaving yourself open for an accident. But if you're focused on driving, you can get to the destination. Yoga means to control the mind. So every time we sit down, we have to control and focus and hear the mantra. Just like I was telling Emily, we were instructing her the other day when she first came to the temple. The first day she came, I gave her beads. She was like, what? She's trying this chanting. I was explaining, because she did meditation before. And she was admitting how her mind would sometimes wander in the meditation. I said, we're all like that. But it's easier if you have the sound vibration to fix your mind and you touch the beads. You can be more focused in your practice of yoga. So there are rules. There are rules and regulations for chanting for those who want to reach the paramgati, the goal. As Satchinandan Swami said, you sit properly, you pronunciate properly, you say it with some appreciation, some affection that turns into love. And Prabhupada, at every initiation ceremony, he said we should stress that chanting means avoiding the 10 offenses. Blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives for preaching the glories of the Lord. Considering the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the name of Krishna. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master. To blaspheme Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, like the Quran or the Bible. To give some interpretation on the holy names. To consider the chanting it, the glories that we always discuss every time in class. Well, that's just some imagination. To commit sin on the strength of chanting. To consider Hare Krishna to be like some Vedic rituals. To teach the intimate glories of the holy names to non-devotees, and to remain attached to the material concept of life even after hearing so much about the Maha Mantra. And Jiva Goswami, well, sometimes the 10th offense, but it said there's an 11th offense, and that Jiva Goswami elaborates on in his writings, that is to be inattentive while chanting. And interestingly enough, he said that's the most serious offense. Why would inattentive chanting be more serious than all those other heavy things we've mentioned? Because when you're inattentive, it's so easy to commit the other 10 offenses. So we have to be guard against being inattentive in our chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. And I'm going to conclude now because looks like the rain has come to put out the sacrificial fire. But I want to leave you with one nice story that helps us understand the danger of being inattentive. And I thought of this as I was walking out of the boys' room today. It's an Akbar story. Akbar was a very famous Mughal Muslim emperor who ruled from Delhi. And being a very strict Muslim, he liked to go on retreats to study the Quran. Just like myself and Bhadahari, we went on a retreat to Udupi to study Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna. So Akbar would go, you know, there'd be some mosque somewhere in some secluded area. He liked to go there and study. But he admitted one time to his servants that because he had so many responsibilities, sometimes his mind wandered. So one time he was studying the Quran, looking out the window of this little mosque, and he became inattentive. He's studying, but he's, you know, looking around. He's just looking out the window, and he saw a young woman pacing back and forth on the street. So suddenly this woman just ran into the mosque, and she was running so fast, she ran into Akbar, and he fell over, and the Quran fell on the ground. She kept running. So Akbar was so infuriated that he had her arrested and brought back. And he ordered her to be hanged for her offense of being disrespectful to the Quran. That's how they are. So that very day, his soldiers built this gallows where she was going to be hung. It's actually a true story. It was written down by the scribes. So as she was about to ascend to the gallows to be hung by her neck until dead, Akbar approached her and he asked a question. He said, "I can't believe it. How is it, my dear woman, that you didn't notice me, your king, and the Holy Quran, and you bumped into us?" So the lady, who was quite intelligent, she said, "Sir, this morning I heard that my lover had arrived back in town, and I was looking for him." And that made Akbar even more angry. So he said, "You kicked me and desecrated the Quran for such an insignificant reason? You were looking for your lover?" So she replied, "What were you doing, my dear king, when I ran into you?" So he replied, "I already told you, I was studying Quran." She said, "Well, let me question that. If you were reading the Quran, you weren't actually reading the Quran. You weren't praying. You weren't looking for God. You had a restless mind. You were looking outside the window and you were looking at a woman. You're a pretender. You're not really studying the Quran." So historical records show that Akbar set her free. So there's a lesson. If we want to be successful, we can't let our mind wander. We can't be pretenders. To be chanting and have the mind wander, that's not really chanting. We have to fix. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And gradually, different devotees make advancement. Some make more advancement than others. Why? Well, I would say, depending on your chanting, which is the Yuga Dharma. And if we chant, then the attachments loosen, the desires go away, the bhava comes and the prema comes. And then when we're at the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, then Guru and Krishna will reveal all that's necessary to be known. Param gopyam apishnikde shishti vacham iti shruti tachchuryatam mahabhaga galoka mahimadana. The Vedas say that to a loyal disciple, one may speak the confidential secret. Therefore, O most fortunate one, now please hear about the glories of Goloka. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Guru Parampara ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki, Shri Krishna Sankirtan Yajna ki, Christchurch Yatra ki, the dawning of a new era for the Christchurch Yatra ki, the New Zealand Yatra ki, worldwide ISKCON ki, back home, back to Godhead ki, go Premanande!